This is linoleum knife. You've been linoleum knifed already.
Turn that crap off.
You've just gotten a linoleum knifed. Aye. Because we don't have any theme music, and Alonzo won't do theme music because he's lazy.
I just made tons of time to do nothing but theme music.
Gorgoroth, that's our theme music great. Now.
Will you turn your computer off? I'm getting a hum. Right. Stop it. Behave.
Our theme music is Gorgoroth now.
No, it's not.
Forever.
No.
Always.
Wait.
Oh, yeah, that's Alonzo Duralde. He's talking to you. He's the one who is not prepared with theme music that's awesome for you this week, unlike me. I'm Dave White.
That's my introduction?
Alonzo Duralde is the DVD editor of MovieLine.com and is a boss man at the LA Film Critics Association, which is a thing we're about to talk about.
Later in the show, yes.
No, right now, first.
First?
Yes.
Right. Okay, fine.
You want to give people a reason to listen. You're on some other new show now, he's dressing up and looking fancy every week now on...
What the Flick.
Yes, What the Flick.
It's on the Young Turks Network on YouTube.
With
Ben Mankiewicz.
He's a fancy Dan with Ben Mankiewicz now. And Christy Lemire, another fancy Dan, well, Lady Dan.
Fancy Dana. I don't know.
And I sit home and I do nothing.
No, you're Dave White is the film critic for movies.com.
Right.
So last night in Los Angeles was the annual Los Angeles Film Critics Awards dinner.
Why don't you explain your history with Los Angeles Film Critics Association?
Sure. Well, I originally became a member in 1994, actually. This was back when it was way easier to get in because I was writing reviews for
Say the name of what you were writing for. I'm getting
to that.
This is so good.
God, you're like, oh, this part's funny.
This part is funny.
Well, yeah, but if you tell people that in front, it's not funny anymore.
Oh, it's going to be funny.
Fine. I used to write for a bar rag in Los Angeles called Planet Homo. And
it was basically film comment for stripper bars.
Yeah, my page, maybe. Anyway, so that's how I got in originally. I've been a member since 94. And I'm
Homo.
Planet Homo. That's what it was. It was the 90s. We were in your face, man. We were queer.
Yes.
Anywho, that was actually a fun rag. Jackie Beat was the editor for quite a while. It was, you know.
I wasn't living here then. It didn't exist.
Whatever. So anyway, I'm a longtime member of the group. And last night, every year, when you see in the, this is how Dave described it once, when you see in the ad, winner, you know, blah, 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 we're the group in the fine print under
right.
winner that gave them.
Right when they. With a movie you're never going to go see.
Best actress
says
or
winner on it. That's what they. Yeah.
So last night was.
Can
great.
I interrupt that just a
little? You're already interrupting.
Digress just a little bit. Speaking of movies you're never going to go see, we were watching. What was the stupid show we were watching the other night? What was it about foreign films? Something. The guy was like, I don't want to see a foreign movie because I'm not. I've been good or. What was
oh,
the show?
No, it was Modern Family.
Oh, Modern Family. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Had that joke. They were kidding.
They were like, they were going to go see this movie, but they didn't want to go see a foreign language
film. They were
going
to go see Croctopus.
Yeah, and it was, but the joke was that, you know, I don't want to go see this foreign language movie because I haven't been bad. Like, what have I done to have to go see a foreign language movie? Which, now continue talking about The Night because it's relevant. I'm going to bring it back.
Okay, you're going to be a callback on that one? Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, last night was the annual awards dinner because today, Sunday, is Golden Globes Day. So a lot of folks are already in town for awardy things. And we were at capacity. It was packed. It was a packed house last night.
Yeah, it was too packed. I was feeling a little squashed in.
Well, you know, you weren't there actually when.
And not just because I'm fat.
You weren't there when Jeff Garlin had to.
I mean, that's a reason.
Yes.
But
you weren't there when Jeff Garlin tried to squeeze by our table to get out and realized that next to our table, there were all these, like, you know, waiter stations by the wall,
stuff.
So he couldn't squeeze out that way. But he was very nice about it.
He's fat just like me.
Exactly. But.
He may be fatter than me. Do you think he's fatter than me?
He used to be fatter than you. I don't know if he still is fatter than you.
He looked pretty big.
Yeah, but he's taller than you.
How tall is he?
I think he's like 6'2".
Is he that tall?
He looked
it.
I couldn't
next.
Say.
I mean, he was there, but I didn't stand.
He wasn't
up
in front of a like a you know lineup board, so I couldn't say. Anyway, but it was a full house. All the tables were sold. And, you know, so there were like three tables of Social Network people, but the big actually
draw. Here comes a helicopter.
Whirly birds. The big draw was the LAFCA Career Achievement Award winner, Paul Mazursky, who, in addition to being an acclaimed director, is apparently quite the mensch and, like, has this gang of people.
Tons of friends.
Yeah. Like,
and they all came.
Yeah. My friend Michelle calls him the mayor of South Beverly Drive, because apparently he never eats at home. Like, this guy has his, like, breakfast crew, his lunch crew, and his dinner crew, and they all came. Mel Brooks was there, and he, you know, was part of one of the presenters. Molly Ringwald, who got her start in Tempest. That was her first movie. That Mazursky directed. You know, she was there, and it was kind of cool because the experimental film award, or the Douglas Edwards experimental / independent film award, went to Jean-Luc Godard for Film Socialisme, however you say that, film socialism. And of course Godard wasn't there. But
why should he?
Yeah, he didn't show up for the Oscars.
He's Jean-Luc Godard. He can do whatever he wants.
He's walking the dogs in Switzerland. So anyway, but Molly Ringwald was there for Paul Mazursky, and so David Ehrenstein, who was presenting the award, said, "Well, look, you've been in a Godard film. Will you accept on his behalf?" So Molly Ringwald got up and accepted the award.
Was that impromptu? She show up, and then they go,
"Yeah, that's remember when
hey, you want to accept for
when we saw him talking to her before the dinner." That's what he was talking to her about.
I didn't see him talking to her before the dinner.
Yeah, you did. No, you commented upon it.
Did I?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Or maybe Robert did. Never mind. Anyway. So yeah, so Molly Ringwald accepted this award on behalf of Jean-Luc Godard.
Robert.
So that was I was sitting between the two of you. I get confused as who was telling me what.
Right.
Anyway, so that was kind of a cool moment. And the whole night, if you want to, my Twitter feed is Aduraldi, Aduralde, and I live tweeted the whole thing.
He tweeted,
and you know, lot. like Jackie Weaver of Animal Kingdom was flirting with Mel Brooks.
That was not flirting. That was proposition.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, she
that
told
was
him
like, "Come to my hotel room."
She told him
tonight.
What hotel she was staying in. That was great. There was a lovely taped message from Niels Arestrup in Paris for a profit because he couldn't come to accept his award. There was, you know, Trent Reznor was there because he was one of the two. There was a tie for score this year. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for Social Network, and then Alexandre Desplat was there for The Ghost Rider. There was a whole crew from the movie Carlos. There were three tables of Social Network people, I think I mentioned.
There were three tables of Social Network people?
Yeah. Because they got, you know, director, screenplay, picture, score.
Most of the cast was
Jesse Eisenberg was there, Armie Hammer.
I didn't see him. He's tall.
I saw, he stood up. And I saw Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. I saw him coming out of the bathroom.
Oh, well, okay.
That bro is skinny.
He's a wee thing.
He's skinny.
Yeah.
Like and had those skinny pants on too.
Well, you know, he's in superhero training right now. So you know he's like eating, you know, air and a pee, you know. There were a couple tables.
All I've done so far is comment on who's fat, who's tall, and who's skinny.
Which is really all anybody needs to know.
Yeah. Molly Ringwald looked really great.
She looked great.
Great white dress.
Yeah, she looked dynamite. Yeah. There were a couple of tables of there was a Korean contingent there last night for Kim Jae-ha from Mother, who won Best Actress.
If y'all haven't seen Mother, you need to see Mother. Because it's directed by Bong Joon-ho, and he made The Host, which was also great, about the big monster. And this is another movie about a big monster. This is a lady who her mentally challenged son perhaps has committed a murder. You don't know. And
she's convinced otherwise.
She's convinced that he has not committed the murder. And she's going to do anything it takes to get him off the hook. Anything. And so she's just so mind-blowingly awesome in this movie. And the movie itself, not just because of her, but the movie itself is great. And it came out in like January or February,
early
of
last
2010.
Year.
So like
it's on
no
DVD
one saw
now.
It, you know, and it's in Korean. So of course the whole thing
now.
About, as I was saying earlier, I've been good. I don't have to go read a movie. If you're one of those people out there who's like, I don't want to watch a subtitled film, then you're a jerk.
Stop listening right now.
You shouldn't be even listening to this. Because we don't like you.
But here's the thing. I think that joke on Modern Family was intended to reflect how people feel about foreign films and not necessarily
how people are.
But not, I don't think that's like what the creators are saying. I'm sure
The people who made the show aren't saying that. But I mean, like.
But that character would totally say that.
But I just, you know, I'm going to go off here a little bit again.
Oh, good.
I just want, you know, I don't think that I'm particularly weird. I mean, well, okay, maybe I am. I don't know. I don't think I am. I think I'm kind of a normal guy, and I want to see, you know, what was the crappy movie, the Croctopus?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, so Croctopus. I watch those sci-fi movies all the time. I watched Mansquito and Mega Shark. Shark
versus Giant Octopus.
And I saw Sharktopus.
Yes.
And I like those. I want to watch those.
We saw Airline Disaster.
We watched Airline. Yeah, I want to see all that stuff, but I also want to see Film Socialism. Me. I want to see that because it's Jean-Luc Godard, and he's a genius and has been for, you know, however long he's been making movies, like 100 years or whatever. 50 then. And I want to see everything. I want to see everything. And if I have to read it, that just makes sure that I'm not going to fall asleep.
I agree with you, except that their subtitles are no guarantee that I won't fall asleep.
Well, subtitles are no guarantee that it's good.
Well, exactly.
But if you are intentionally chopping yourself off from the world, and who was the critic last night that made the comment that everybody is so into like eating foods from other lands now?
Joe Morgenstern.
Was that Joe Morgenstern?
Yeah.
And was like, yes, we're going to go have ramen at this really amazing place out in, you know, the middle of nowhere because it's, you know, the ramen place. Mm. You know, I'm going to go have ramen. I'm going to go have sushi. I'm going to go eat, you know, Southern Thai food. Right. I'm going to go, you know what I mean? Like this whole.
But we won't go see movies from those countries.
Everybody's a foodie and no one will go to see a movie from the country that you're so into their food for.
Right.
And again, if that's you, you're a jerk and you shouldn't even listen to us.
So anyway, Lafayette dinner was last night. Pretty awesome. And so, yeah.
What else about the Lafayette dinner?
What else about the Lafayette dinner? I don't know.
Why don't you tell everyone what you do for Lafayette?
I'm an officer.
Tell them which one.
God, why? I told you I didn't want to talk about this.
God. He told me 5 minutes before we turned on the mics, he goes, don't say what I do for Lafayette because it sounds like student council. I was like, well, there's a reason. It sounds like student council.
I'm the treasurer. But that actually involves real money in this case, you know.
A lot of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
None of which goes to me at last, but oh well. Yeah. So anyway, Lafayette dinner last night. It was really awesome. And go to Lafayette.net, see who the winners were, and go see those movies if you haven't already, because they're all great.
I'm not in Lafayette.
No.
No.
But you just mooch on
mine. I'm a plus one.
Yeah. You tag onto my ride.
I even got our one shared drink ticket.
That's right. Yeah, well, that was a low point of the evening. The one drink ticket.
One drink ticket for two people.
It's a tough. Y'all are cheap.
You know, it was a big group of folks there last night.
Well, and I think that next year will mean for tables. I think because this year did so well, next year will equal two drinks.
They're not coming back now. They've had the cash bar. They're like, forget that. Forget that dinner. I'm not coming back. Cash all right, bar. All right, $6 all right. Bottle of beer.
I'm going to pause for a second, and then we're going to talk about the new movies, so hang on. Okay, I paused because I thought things weren't working, but they were working.
You had the wiggles, but you didn't have the jaggedy lines?
The bars. No, I've got the jaggedy lines. I'm not having the little you know, thing. Right. But anyway, it seems to be working, so whatever.
Okay, so let's talk about Green Hornet.
Yes, let's talk about Green Hornet. Directed by Michel Gondry, starring Seth Rogen and Chow Chu.
I don't know how you say it.
On YouTube complained that we were mispronouncing it, so maybe it's Chu and not Chow.
It could be Chu.
Okay, so we'll say Jay Chu.
I don't speak Mandarin, so yeah, I don't have either. To learn unless someone tells me first.
Right.
Like, I can't be, well, I mean, no, I do have to learn, but I mean, like, I can't be expected to automatically know.
Exactly.
Until the day comes when I have to learn Mandarin because
they own
China's going to take over the whole world.
It's based on the radio show and movie serials and 1960s TV show.
Yes.
And it's about a Wastrel millionaire whose media.
Nice SAT.
Thank you. Whose media emperor father dies. And so the son decides to do some good and become a superhero with the help of his father's mechanic, Kato, who is really the capable one of the two. He actually knows how to, like, make the cars look cool and beat the crap out of everybody. And the rich guy's son is kind of useless, but he is still insisting that the other guy is the sidekick.
Yeah, he's useless.
Yeah. I like this movie a lot. I thought, okay, they're bearing a superhero movie in January. It's got to suck.
We're alone, kind of, on this.
Ish, yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone, no other person who makes a living writing about movies seems to enjoy this film, except us.
I haven't looked at Rotten Tomatoes. I have no idea how it's doing. But yeah, I get that impression. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was smart and kind of subversive in a way. And Michel Gondry actually does some stuff in 3D that I haven't seen before.
The 3D in general looks kind of crappy, but what they do with the 3D is they throw stuff at you. Which is really all you... That's the point of 3D.
Well, yeah, no, I agree.
Unless it's Avatar, that's the point of 3D, throwing things at you.
Like
they throw a lot of things at you, which is cool.
I was getting in an argument this week with... Well, not an argument, but I was talking with Todd Gilchrist and Kyle Buchanan. They were both raving about...
That was a slap fight.
Oh, shut up. It was just a discussion. It wasn't an argument. But they were both talking about how much they liked Step Up 3D. And I was like, you know what? I did not.
That movie was poop.
I needed the bottom of sneakers in my face way more, and they were not delivering.
Now, if
that.
Step Up to the Streets
had been in 3D,
that would have been fantastic. Because Step Up to the Streets is a great movie. I'm not kidding either.
I know, and it's being facetious. Step Up 3D is no Step Up to the Streets. Anything,
no. No, Step Up 3D is boring.
I mean, frankly, even Jackass 3D, I thought, as much as I enjoyed it, didn't. They could have pushed that further.
There could have been more actual feces thrown at us.
For instance. Yeah, or just whatever. But no, there's a great part in Green Hornet where they do like a split screen and it splits again. Like it winds up splitting into about 8 quadrants. And then each quadrant starts sort of shifting forwards and backwards. And it creates this cool kind of multi-plane effect. And I'm like, wow,
that's a nice moment.
I haven't seen that in 3D before. That's... you know, that alone was worth the rest of this movie being in 3D.
The visual part I liked the best was when it sort of turned into Bjork's Bachelorette video.
Yeah, well, of course.
And it's sort of like everything sort of popping up and you know,
the roses multiple, with the money on them,
multiple
on
Cameron
fire.
Diaz's and things, you know, yeah, exactly. That's the version of Michel Gondry that I like the best. I like the cardboard and cotton balls version
aesthetic
of him. Yeah, I like things that look like they're made out of, you know,
yeah, I, you know,
construction paper.
I hated Be Kind Rewind, but I loved all of the movies within the movie part.
Yeah,
that was the best thing.
And as I really, really insightfully wrote in my review at movies.com,
yes,
that at the beginning of the movie, Seth Rogen says, "I'm going to call myself the Green Bee," and I was like, and as the movie went on, I thought, well, you should have kept that name, because what happens in this film is that the movie itself does sort of flit around and so sort of hovers in the air and doesn't go anywhere sometimes. And it's just pointlessly goofy and just goes off of these little digressive, you know, sort of dead ends. And
that for me was the subversive part.
Yeah, that's what I mean, that's what I liked about it. I liked that it had almost no forward momentum at all until the very end.
And
when they throw all the things that they don't even put in the trailer.
Yeah, there's a crazy amount of action in the last 25
And from looking
minutes.
At the trailer, you would assume that this was like super bad.
Yeah.
Again.
Which it is in a lot of ways.
Kind
of,
yeah.
I mean, the this is very much like there's a love interest, Cameron Diaz, who ultimately is not particularly interested in either
of them. She doesn't care about any of them.
It's really about their relationship. And they even sort of talk about, like, you know, they sort of edge close to like, male bonding gayitude, and then like double back as quick as
that's
they can.
That's really minor. You're more focused on that.
No, it's a recurring theme for. I mean,
well, it's a recurring theme.
You look at Pineapple Express. You look at Superbad. You know, it's a Judd Apatow sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I liked about Cameron Diaz is that she didn't care about either one of them, and she was actually almost as nerdy about everything as Kato. Like, she was single-mindedly focused on her job and getting things accomplished and finding out the truth of the situation that the movie's about and stuff.
Yeah,
like
so it's like, I mean, when Seth Rogen puts the mask on, Kato is the guy who's really in charge. And when Seth Rogen doesn't have the mask on and he's like running the newspaper, Cameron Diaz is really in charge because he doesn't know how to do anything. And so I thought that's kind of a funny to have a protagonist who is like, you know, feckless, I guess.
With the words. You get the words, feckless and wastrel.
He was a feckless wastrel. I don't write this stuff down. It just comes out
of
me.
It just pops out of your giant...
My beautiful mind.
Brain, yeah.
And speaking of a beautiful mind, that was a totally not planned segue.
That
but
was super
look at us.
Spontaneous. Well, you're the one that did that.
Speaking of a beautiful mind, Ron Howard, returns to theaters with The Dilemma.
Okay, now, Here's the thing.
Wait, set it up.
Tell me I'm fixing to. Okay. I'm just relax.
All right.
How many minutes do we have left?
We got at least 10.
Okay, good. So this movie is about Kevin James is married to Winona Ryder, and Kevin James is Vince Vaughn's best friend. Vince Vaughn is about to become engaged to Jennifer Connelly. Vince Vaughn sees Winona Ryder making out with Channing Tatum. Okay. So then he's got to decide, like, what to do. How does he tell Kevin James, his best friend, that Winona Ryder is cheating on him?
Or does he at all, for that matter?
Or does he at all? Well, no. There's no decision, really, to be made. You have to do that. On some level, you have to... And I'm okay, you know, with that being the plot of a movie. Now, if you don't want to hear every single thing that happens in this movie,
Are you going to spoil again?
I'm going to spoil it again. Because here's the deal. I've been on the radio like three times this week talking to various like radio DJs about this movie. And I have been really judicious with my use, with my you know, dispensing of plot details. Now, in my review at movies.com, I completely spoiled the movie, and I'm going to do it now, too.
Because this is what pisses me off about this movie.
No. This is what really, this movie angered me.
Okay.
This is not a bad movie in terms of like how it's made. I mean, it is a bad movie in terms of how it's made, but it's not.
It's annoying.
It's annoying, but it's not reprehensible. But the one reprehensible thing about it is what made me so angry that I just hate this movie. The more I think about it, I think I gave it like 2 stars on the site, but I would take those 2 stars away the more I've been thinking about it the past few days. That's how cranky this plot thing makes me.
Okay, so stop listening now.
If you don't want to know what happens. But here's what happens. In the middle of the movie, Vince Vaughn decides to confront Winona Ryder about it. And he goes, I saw you cheating. There's no getting out of this. You know what the truth is. And she goes, I'll say you're lying. And here's why. Because back before I ever met Kevin James, you and I had a drunken doing it night in college.
In college, right.
And we have always kept that our little secret. And I'm going to tell him. And I'm also going to keep telling him that you continue to hit on me for all these years. That's number one. Number two is the reason she's cheating on Kevin James is that Kevin James is cheating on her too. And it's a fact. He's doing it. He's getting handos from massage girls weekly. And apparently the movie doesn't make these two things weigh the same. The movie decides that because it's some anonymous, you know, sex worker that and because he's not, you know, like kissing her passionately or whatever, and because you never see on camera
the girl or girls
who are doing this at the massage parlor that he frequents apparently every Thursday night.
Yeah, then it doesn't count.
Then it doesn't count somehow. Because finally, at the end of the movie, when they finally get it all worked out after all the, you know, this and that goes down, not only does Winona Ryder's character not have any sort of vindication about, look, here's why I did it, because you were cheating on me first. And not only that, but she gets eliminated from the movie. No chance to say her final piece. She's literally disappeared. Like, you don't see her after the confrontation at the end. He goes on to fortune, essentially. Their job thing, like, gets picked up by the car. They're trying to manufacture an aggressively masculine
electric
car, one that sounds like a muscle car. And so they do it, and then, like, Dodge or whoever gives them $1 bajillion and is like, hey, you have succeeded, and now you're rich. And then not only that, but he wins a hockey contest. The very last scene of the movie is he wins a hockey puck shooting contest and wins a free vacation to somewhere. And I'm like, okay, so he gets the job of his dreams and a free vacation, and he gets to get rid of Winona Ryder, and apparently still gets to keep getting
the handos
from the ladies at the massage parlor. The end. Ha ha.
Well, what would be great though is if Winona Ryder,
what that means.
It would be great after that if Winona Ryder then like sues him for divorce and demands half of the money from the motor company.
Well, she should.
That would be great.
She should. She should do that.
Because, yeah, that's a crock.
In the sequel, the divorce movie is what needs to happen,
yeah.
And she needs to get half his money.
Yeah.
Because if that's like, she's really sort of painted as the villainess
Yeah,
as the movie goes on, like she's like angry, and, I'm gonna tell, and I'm gonna lie, and blah,
that scene between the two of them where she's all like, "I'm gonna tell," it's kind of
a cool scene.
It's a cool scene
because you're thinking, "Oh, this movie's gonna become sophisticated."
Yeah, you think it's gonna be kind of dark and adult and interesting. No, yeah, no. never cashes in.
They're like, its potential. Someone had an idea. Let's ignore that it ever happened.
You know, yeah, and again, I think I talked about this on the YouTube on What the Flick
on the YouTube
on the YouTube show. I was going to say on What the Flick, that you know, the part of the joke is that while Vince Vaughn is sort of meandering, trying to figure out like what to do, what not to do, all these sort of physical things keep befalling him. He gets he falls on a poison plant. He gets the crap beaten out of him by Channing Tatum. But they don't take that as far as it could.
Yeah, it could be
as far as the agony comedy. And then
they could have crutches and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they they don't
head and whatever.
And there's what's the other thing they don't.
But the movie takes place over the course of a week.
Yeah,
and all of his scars heal. like he's got super immunity or something. Like his body just metabolizes every sort of injury, and there's just
no
lasting physical consequences.
Stupid thing this movie does.
And there are no consequences for anyone's behavior except Winona Ryder's.
Basically, yeah. It's a ridiculous movie, and it has these sort of glimmers where you think, oh, this could be sort of interesting or provocative or not as dull a through line as it looks like. But no, that's the dull through line is really all you're going to get.
Yeah.
And now I remember the other thing is the movie kind of constantly acknowledges that there's no right answer on this one. You know, like when he sort of asks people, well, hypothetically, if your friend is cheating on
it's their marriage and you don't know what's going on and you can't understand it.
Yeah.
And everyone says that over and over.
So they say that. But then at the same time, the movie keeps punishing Vince Vaughn for doing the quote unquote wrong thing, even though they've established that there's no right thing. So it's like, well, then why is he being punished and beaten up and all this stuff when he's not doing anything that the movie itself is telling us is a bad thing? It's ridiculous.
Nothing makes any sense.
No.
Nothing makes any sense.
So, yeah, that.
the end, we're done.
Yeah, P.U. Next week there will not be a new episode because I will be...
Someone's going to the Sundance Film Festival.
Yes, I will be trying desperately not to get double pneumonia on the ski slopes. Not that I'm going to be anywhere near a ski slope.
It's just like the idea of you skiing.
Yeah, that's not happening. I'm going to be trudging my way up and down Main Street and trying not to have a heart attack. Skiing is not on the agenda. But I will be covering that for MovieLine and for Movies.com. So check out those sites if you want to see what I'm up to.
You're encroaching on my turf.
Who I'm talking to. Oh, you want to go to Sundance?
My tough turf.
Do you want to go to Sundance?
No, I don't want
to. Well, then I'm taking a bullet for you is what I'm doing. I'm not encroaching on your turf. You can contact us at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
You have questions.
Perhaps you do, and we'll try and answer them in future episodes if you do. And anything else?
No.
DVD stuff you want to talk about? Nothing?
No.
Oh, actually, I will.
Well, we were going to watch Dogtooth this week.
Yes, and we didn't, unfortunately. But we hear it's great, and we're going to get to
it. We're going to get to it.
We will talk about it.
We've got the DVD sitting on top of the TV right here.
I do want to give a quick plug. The Criterion Collection is putting out some awesome stuff next week.
Why are you plugging the Criterion Collection?
Because they got great stuff. And they sent it to me.
Are they sending you some money to plug them?
No.
And what, we're not advertising
anything. I'm not advertising. All right. This is, people want to know. Mm. You know.
You're right. You are an informative guy here.
Yeah.
Yeah, give the information.
Thank you.
Yeah. Criterion Collection does want to.
Yes, we'll talk. Sure. Anyway, they're putting out Broadcast News first time on Blu-ray with a deleted ending that no one's ever seen before, which apparently Jim Brooks hadn't seen since the actual shooting, so that was kind of cool. And then they also two great films from American auteur Samuel Fuller. Shock Corridor and The Naked Kiss with really cool illustrated covers by Dan Clowes.
Naked Kiss is badass.
Yeah. Yeah. And Shock Corridor is really good too. We need to watch that one.
I know I need to.
So those are coming out on Tuesday. And there was something else. Oh, yeah. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to our friends in podcast land. Popcorn Mafia with Gray Drake, Feel Better Soon. The Comedy Couch with Dennis and Tony. Blowhard with Malcolm Ingram. And the IFC Podcast with Matt Singer and Allison Wilmore.
Are they regularly talking about us?
Sometimes.
Really? How often?
I don't know. But maybe
you don't know how
maybe
often.
If we talk about them enough, they'll talk about us.
You sure are optimistic about everything.
I'm a giver. What can I tell you? Anyway, so that is Linoleum Knife Podcast for this week. Do you want to sing us out, Gorgoroth?
No, I'm done. You told me to shut down my laptop. I did. I obeyed.
Oh, that's a rarity. All right. We'll I'll plant my own tree. I don't know. I don't have a closing theme for this week. So let's just, we're done. Thank you.